The Spinoff Podcast Network. Skinny are helping you show how smart you are with the 1Q Quiz, an all-new, super challenging and super quick daily quiz built by The Spinoff. Every Monday, Skinny are giving you the chance to prove you're smart with the Skinny Extra Credit question. Get it right, and you'll get the chance to score yourself some Skinny Extra mobile credit so you can text, call, or even video call your group chat and gloat about how big your brain is. T's and C's apply. Ready to rediscover the joys of cycling? With over 300 kilometres of cycle paths across Tāmaki Makaurau, jumping on your bike and going for a ride is such a fun way to discover the city from a different perspective. Cycling is getting more and more popular across Auckland, so now's a great time to join the hype and give cycling a go. Head to at.govt/cycling to find your nearest cycleway today. Nair is public interest journalism funded through New Zealand On Air.
Nau mai, hara mai, whakatau mai rā, he kōnei ipurangi tēnei e pāna ki te ao Māori me te ao hurihuri. I'm Miriana Johnson and this is Nair, a podcast about being Māori in this hectic, ever-changing world we live in. Today we're talking about the whare tangata, whare whakapapa, kōpū and ikuratanga. The uterus is the place from which all of us originate, but colonisation has done its utmost to erase the mana of wāhine and our mana as the bearers of life. Today we have an all-wāhine Māori panel to discuss ikuratanga, mana wāhine and ngā atua wāhine. And just a note for our listeners, when we talk about mana wāhine, this is inclusive of all of those with whare tangata and or those who identify as wāhine. Kia mau tonu mai. Kini Ahuone, the first tangata, fashioned from the earth by Tāne, who breathed life into her through hongi. And we honour this origin of all people when we greet each other, hā ki roto, hā ki waho, ihu ki te ihu. And for those of us with whare tangata, every month when we menstruate, the blood, the kura, is a reminder of these sacred origins of all people. The deep red of our menstrual blood is kura waka, the red clay that Hine Ahuone was created from. However, for many of us, including myself, these sacred origins of our ikura are not what we are taught in preparation for our first periods. We are tossed sanitary items, told briefly how to use them, and sent on our merry way. When the missionaries came to Aotearoa in the early 1800s, they brought their patriarchal teachings, which included that periods are a punishment from God for woman's sin, you know, because we have to be punished for even more because Eve had the audacity to eat an apple. And once celebrated and honoured by our tipuna, ikura became something that we were taught to be ashamed of, viewed as dirty. Our periods were to be hidden, managed quietly in private, and never spoken about. And while this shame and stigma does persist, it is slowly changing. The revitalisation of te ao Māori in recent years has opened up the kuaha, the door, for mātauranga about ikuratanga and our whare tangatas to be known and embraced anō. Wāhine Māori, the likes of Ani Makaere, Dr. Linda Tuhiwai-Smith, Dr. Leonie Pihama and Dr. Ngahuia Murphy have brought back this mātauranga about our ikura, how we can honour its arrival, the significance of it as the flow of life, the connection of ira atua to ira tangata, as revered knowledge holder Dr. Rangi Mārie Rose Perez says, and which is recorded in Ngahuia Murphy's groundbreaking pukapuka Te Awa Atua. If you haven't read this book, hari ki te whare pukapuka anaenei. The pūrākau about our atua wāhine are being revived and restored. The kōrero about papatua nuku, hine tītama, hine ahuone, hine nui te pō, mahueka, hine tai waiwa, hine moana, which were all distorted by the colonisers when they recorded it. These are now being corrected, retold, to heal and empower the next generations. And more, there are kōrero, wānanga and roimi that speak of what our whare tangata holds and how our tipuna honour and celebrated it and how we can now too. Our strength is within us, held within our wombs, the whare tangata. And I want to mihi to all our kuia, aunties, māma, sisters, nieces and kōtero, the backbone of our whānau, marae and communities. This episode is dedicated to all of you. So after the break, we'll be talking all things ikuratanga, kia mau tonu mai. By hoki mai anō e hoa mā, we are joined, well, I'm joined by Leonie, as you all know, the wonderful Leonie Hayden, and our guest co-host today, Kia Ni Matata Sipu of Te Wai Ohua ki Ahiwaru me Te Akitai, Waikato, Ngāpui, Ngāti Pikiao, and the Cook Islands. She needs no introduction. She's been on the pod before, and we love her so much that we brought her back home.
Oh, kia ora.
So kia ora kōrua.
Kia ora.
Tēnā koe hoa. So, all things ikuratanga. So, let's talk about te ikura tuatahi.
Oh, where?
What was that experience like? Did you mihi to your ikura?
No, I did not. I did not mihi to that. My mum was actually on her honeymoon with my new dad when I got my first ikura. And so, I was just terrified and I wanted my mama. And I cried for 2 days and two nights. About it, mostly because I just didn't want to be a grown up.
Were you a baby? Oh. You don't have to say how old, but
I was
quite
young.
Yeah,
definitely on the young end of the spectrum, and quite a tomboy. Mm. So, but I also was sort of like developing boobs a bit earlier than everyone else, and just being sort of forced to not be this thing that I felt, which was like I felt like I was just like a tomboyish little boy, and then my body was forcing me to be a lady. I just wasn't prepared for it. And because my mum wasn't there, it was just really like, this is blues, man. I hate it. And so I reckon that first experience can shape what comes after quite hard, because I just hated it ever since, you know. Not ever since. I mean, I've come to terms with things a lot now that I'm 40.
But you accept it, eh? But you never loved it.
Those first 10 years was just like utterly resentful every single month, just angry, and not just because of the hormones. Like being forced to go through this thing. Hate it.
Once a month is a lot, eh?
Yeah,
that comes around quickly.
Aye.
Well, it doesn't. Not for everyone, doesn't come once a month.
Yeah,
but,
true.
I don't remember how old I was. I don't actually remember my first ikura. This may have been my first. It may not have been. I don't really remember. I do remember early on in my ikura years, probably was near the beginning, that I had a really heavy, really painful period and didn't want to go to kura. And my stepdad, I just remember the feeling of me lying in bed, kind of face the other way to the wall and just feeling miserable. And my stepdad, who I didn't have the greatest relationship with at the time, came into my room and just put his hand on my back and just rubbed my back.
Aww.
And it was, I just still now, all these years later, remember the aroha that was filled in that moment. And it was really beautiful. My ikura was an asshole. but it was a really defining moment in the relationship of me and my stepdad. And so, but I guess, yeah, you guys talking about every month, I've had PCOS like for as long as I can remember. And I remember some years having an ikura for 3 months long. Mm. And then I remember some years not having it at all for a really long time.
Oh, wow.
And the real differences in what it would be like, and not knowing when it was going to come and not knowing when it was going to finish and all of that sort of stuff. And I remember being really young and being really embarrassed by having an ikura and being really giggly in that puberty class that you go to at school where they teach you how to put a pad in your undies. And I'm like, oh, kare. Like nowadays, I'm like, oh, I'm never teaching my kid like in that way.
Oh, dry,
but,
eh?
But yeah, tēnō maroke. But I just remember how everyone just giggled the whole time.
Yeah.
And then they had this half a tinana, I can't even remember what it's called,
mannequin-y
thing.
Okay. But from like the waist down.
From just like the waist to the thigh.
Oh. Disembodied,
to show you, you know, the insides of your tinana, and they like inserted a tampon into this thing, and I was like, oh,
yeah, terrifying,
traumatizing.
Oh. It's funny you say that though, because I pretty much started using tampons straight away.
Wow,
and I had kore whakama, but I was almost 16 when I got my ikura for the first time, for no reason. Like, oh, mum was the same, you know, she didn't get hers till 15, so.
And yeah, I was like flat chested and everything. It was, I was actually just getting hoo-ha that it hadn't arrived because, you know, all your mates are talking about it.
Does it become like a point of pride at that point? Because it's certainly not at the beginning when you're like the first one, but I imagine.
You're like waiting for this milestone. Everyone's talking about it all the time. There's so much hype. And so when I finally got it, I was just like, oh, thank God. All right. You know, I'm like everyone else. Because I was like, am I different? Am I weird? But it was 10 or PYD because I told my mum and I was all like, whatever. Got my period, mum. she so cried. Good. She cried. Aww. She gave me a big cuddle and I was all like, oh, whatever. It's no big deal. Don't touch me. But looking back now, obviously, that's so sweet.
It is.
But yeah.
And she was like, and also now my daughter's a bitch.
That had started long before the ikura arrived.
So closer to 60. I'm sure it was like closer to 10.
Yeah, I was 11. Wow. Nearly 12, but 11.
But then I was like, yeah, like I developed really early. I have huge boobs now. Like, imagine what they were like back then.
It's so weird how these two things seem to be connected.
Hey. No, yeah, I was like definitely over 15, nearing 16. Yeah. And yeah, just like a late bloomer in puberty in general, which now I'm like, oh, that's actually, was actually quite mean. And, you know.
And how about now? Now that we're grown-ups, we've got everything under control.
Mine's artificially controlled, which is a source of great, I just have a lot of back and forth wanung with myself about my IUD, which I love, but also it's the best in terms of like my period is regular, not heavy at all, and it's a reliable contraceptive, so you know that always helps. But I remember seeing a Māori healer maybe 2 years ago. And she knew it was in there just when she was giving me midi-midi. And she was like, oh, is there something in your whare tangata? I was like, oh, yeah. I've got an ID. And she said, you shouldn't have that in there. That's disrupting your tapu.
Oh, yeah.
Aye. And so I'm just like super conflicted because on the one hand, you know, being on the pill, that was awful for my mood and gave me depression. So it's a... mean as a contraceptive, but yeah, in terms of that sacred space, I've got a little visitor that hangs out.
Yeah, that's how, interesting.
Yeah. What about you? Like, do you come to terms with it?
The period underwear has changed everything for me, and I'm so glad that that product is available for our kohene now because it has taken away so much of the mai of the whole thing, and I feel so much better about what I'm doing to Papatua Nuku. Like, you know, it's just, yeah, it's taken away so much of the stress. And it's a very simple concept. I really don't understand. I mean, I do understand why that it's only been developed relatively recently because it doesn't happen to men. But I am very pleased that those products exist because
especially like toxic shock,
Exactly.
Toxic shock and all those things.
And I don't know if it's an age thing. It might be, but the older I get, the worse those kinds of products get. So, yeah, this is just such an elegant solution. But also for right at the beginning when you're just like, I don't know how to manage this. I don't know when it's coming. I'm in PE, you know.
But they're just so easy. Yeah. Period undies are so easy.
It's a wonderful invention.
You love your life, rinse them out, you're done.
You're done.
And you don't have all the putter, you don't have all the rubbish afterwards.
Yeah.
I recently went away on holiday and, you know, just before I packed my bag, I was like, oh, am I going to need those period undies? And because I'm not great at tracking my period because I've just had the, you know, most random period over my life.
Yeah.
It has been quite regular recently, so catch up. I'm loving it. But I was like, oh, should I take them? Oh, no. Get to where I'm supposed to be. And, oh, kia ora.
Get your time, Mike.
And so I had to go to the supermarket, bought some pads, and it was real... I don't know how long I've had period undies, but it was so different. Like, I had to re-teach myself how to use these products. But it was great because it sparked conversation with my four-year-old. And so she came into the whare, because she's seen Toto before, she's seen Ikura before, but she was kind of, you know, having a conversation with me in the middle of the bathroom. You know, mama, hea tera, he toto, hea te toto, you know, kei te mamai. Yeah. Are you all right? Do you want a plaster? Like, kei te pai hau. It's like, are those nappies? Like, Carl. So, you know, having this conversation. And then that whole holiday was revolved around kōrero to do with ikura, because my kōrero had pātai every day about ikura. We then went on a bushwalk, and she's pointing out, you know, all these different rākau in the middle of the bush. I'm talking to her about what they are. We find angiangi. I say to her, oh, you know, angiangi, they used to use angiangi for ikura back in the day. O nehe rā. And she's, how, mama? And so we talked a bit about angiangi. She said, mama, when I have a kōtero, when I have a daughter, I'm going to tell her all about ikura and I'm going to tell her all about angiangi. Oh, and I had this, like, proud mama moment in the middle of the ngahere. It's very bloody freezing. thinking about how amazingly different my daughter's conversations are, her experiences are, around ikura to mine, and how when she gets to, you know, do they still do puberty talks at school? When she gets to that point, she'll probably be standing there educating the tutor and saying, no, that's Carl, kare, kare he tika.
No kura waka te ikura.
But she, at 4 years old, has this tino hohonu tūhono ki te ikura, ki papatuanuku. She knows about kura waka. And just the beauty and the privilege she has, bloody hell, at four.
Hey, but that's a credit to you.
Yeah,
because that's how you are raising her.
Yeah.
So mihi atu ki a koe, kare.
Thanks. I'll take full credit for that, kia ora.
Oh, tēnā kōrua, ngā mihi mō tō, how to kupa mari mō frankness,
open
straight up tanga. Straight up tanga. Love it. It's awesome. I mean, you know, just what you've talked about, Kiani, is why we're having these kōrero, why we are having these wānanga. We want, you know, our babies, our nieces, you know, ngā wāhine katoa o te reanga i tipuaki a nāianei to have a different relationship with their whare tangata, right, to know the pūrākau. So kia ora, awesome to share this wānanga with you both.
Kia ora.
Kia ora.
Ka pai hoa mā. So coming up after the break, we're joined by our first manuhiri. You don't want to miss it. So hoki mai anō. Nōku te honore to introduce our first manuhiri today. Ngā Huia Murphy of Ngāti Manua, Ngāti Ruapani ki Waikari Moana, Tūhoe, Ngāti Kahanunu and Te Arawa is a kaupapa Māori researcher and author who has led the way in revitalising mātauranga of our ikura, ceremonies and karakia connected to that, and most importantly, our divine connection as wāhine Māori to ngā atua wāhine. Mihi atu ki a koe e māreikura, nau mai haru mai ki nē.
Tēnā koe, tēnā koutou, mihi ana ki a koutou, o te rā ki a koutou, e hau taringa mai nei ki e nei pito pito kōrero, tēnā tātou. Kia ora.
So your rangahau has really brought into the mainstream the kōrero around how our tipuna used to kaitiaki, to tiaki for our ikura, and the ways that they honoured it and the ways they viewed it. Could you talk a bit about how iaikinga Māori, what are the origins of the ikura? Where did it begin?
There are three pūrākau that I came across in my rangahau. I did this rangahau back in like 2011. So it was 10 years ago now. I've gone on to do a PhD since then, completed that in 2019. So that's online, you know, for, and that goes into how we, tangata whenua in Aotearoa, but also other Indigenous women around the world are recovering our rituals around ikura and the whare tangata, and recovering that sacred ancestral ground, which is our own bodies, eh? Yeah. Mm. So there are three pūrākau that I came across about the origins of the blood that tell us everything really we need to know about the mana and tapu of the blood, and we can spend the rest of our lives in wānanga about what those the teachings of each of those pūrākau and, you know, and how they can instruct us. And that's mahi for every generation, eh? Every generation, I think, we've got to, every generation has to return to our own sacred pūrākau, to wānanga them and shake out the teachings to empower and heal and decolonise themselves and ourselves, eh? So the oldest that I came across, the oldest pūrākau about the origins of the blood talk about, it was recorded by Nepia Pōhuhu, a tohunga from the East Coast, and he talked about how the blood comes from Papatūānuku, which makes total sense. The blood comes from Papatūānuku as she ripened into her power as a creatress within the womb of the paw, te paw tifa tifa, the seventh cycle of the paw. So the blood we bleed today is the same blood that birthed the pantheon, that allowed for the birth of the pantheon of Atua, which is incredible. Isn't that incredible?
Wow.
The blood we bleed today is the same blood that birthed the pantheon of Atua into being. So when that blood arrived for her, it meant, of course, that she could conceive her tamariki, the Atua. And according to that particular pūrākau, Tāne discovered the world of light, Te Ao Marama, by riding out on the tide of his mother's blood, out of the paw into Te Ao Marama. And so these names, Atua, Awatua, Rerenga Atua, come from that pūrākau. And Atua, a male Atua, which is very interesting, is riding out on the tide. That's why when we bleed, we're in an intense state of tapu, because wahine are the gate between worlds. We are the threshold between Te Ao Marama and Te Ao Wairua, and when we bleed, that gate, that door is open, and the river, the divine river flows through. Yeah.
Cool.
So, yeah, that was one, that was the oldest of the pūrākau, and a continuation of that pūrākau is that Hine Ahuone, the first human, a woman, was sculpted from that matrilineal river of power of her mother. Yeah, it wasn't wound blood that sculpted Hine Ahuone. It wasn't wound blood, it was womb blood. Because ikura blood, Te Awa Atua, menstrual blood, is the only blood that is not wound blood. It's regenerative life blood. So whilst, yes, it is a mate because it represents the death of an ancestor returning to the womb of the earth, it's also the blood of life and the blood that represents the mystery of renewal and continuation. And that mystery belongs to us. So those are the seasons of the womb, the seasons of the moon, Hine Te Iwiwa, she's waxing and waning in the sky, and the seasons of the earth, you know?
Aye. It's beautiful. I mean, when you bring up talking about, you know, the mate of the ikura, that was, and you talk about that in your work in Te Awa Atua, how that was interpreted, the tapu of the blood was interpreted as a bad thing, right? And therefore something kind of played into that missionary colonial narrative of like, this is dirty and tapu way, but ihara te tika tera.
Yeah, they really corrupted. They corrupted our sacred teachings because of their own Victorian Christian patriarchal lens. They've demonized the power of wahine. And what they missed was that, yes, it is death, but it is also life, and it is also the mystery of renewal. Those are the cosmogonic milestones of creation. Ay,
yes.
It's not just death, it's life. It's renewal, it's continuation. The whare tangata, wahine, we represent the future. We represent uri. We're the house of whakapapa. So we kaitiaki, the Māori of the people through the whare tangata. So how on earth could that blood be paru?
Right.
Because the blood is the ceremony of renewal of the womb herself, the temple of humanity. That's the process. That's the ritual cycle she goes through every month to renew herself so she can continue the whakapapa line. So what we have to do as wahine is bring our awareness to that and ritualise the blood for ourselves. What does that mean? It means actually resting and saying no, you know, and prioritising self-care and self-nurturance. So my kuia, Rangi Maria Pere, she talked to me about, you know, because these tikanga around the blood, around the when we bled, we didn't do this, we didn't do that. Now, that's been interpreted as restrictions and prohibitions on bleeding women because they're tapu and the kind of the underpinning that is the belief that somehow we're dirty, defiling, dangerous, to going to pollute tapu and all this kind of nonsensical.
We are dangerous though, eh?
Rubbish. Yeah. Which we are.
Oh.
Hey. Which we are. But the it's all in the interpretation, eh? So there are certain things that we didn't do, but underpinning it is we placed boundaries around ourselves and determined for ourselves what we would and would not do when we're in our ceremony of renewal, because we prioritise taking care of ourselves. And with the support of our whānau, you know, in honour of the house that represents whakapapa, the whare tangata. So to nurture and honour the whare tangata and wahine is to if you uplift wahine, you uplift the people.
Ka pai.
You liberate the people. If you oppress wahine, there's no tino rangatiratanga for us while wahine continue to be relegated to an inferior status.
Pono.
Ka pai. Honestly, I love this kura so much that I feel like I'm high on drugs. But then my brain takes me back to, okay, in this aisle that we do live in, you know, I just live in a whare in a suburb and I get my ikara and I still am expected to go to school and I still am expected to go to my job. And my boyfriend is very nice to me during that time, but I don't think anyone in our lives would understand if I went, I'm not doing anything this week. I guess my question is, and I suppose on this podcast we often go back to a lot that solutions start with our tamariki. So I guess we start with our tamahine and our kōhine when they're starting their ikura.
And the boys.
Aye, exactly. So what is it that parents need to be starting now while their tamariki are still pepe in order to make sure that those tamahine, when they get to that start time of their ikura, are supported by their whānau.
Yeah, kua rite, eh?
Aye.
Well, for our whānau, it started when my daughter and my son were both toddlers coming into the wharepaku, you know, busting through the door when I'm in the wharepaku, seeing the blood, asking me, hea ha tēnā mama, and me talking to them about that sacred blood that represents whakapapa. This is the taonga of wahine. The teachings start as soon as possible. The teachings start when they're toddlers and see the blood and then they grow up with them and for our kōtero, it's one day you're going to get this sacred river, and when this river arrives, we're going to celebrate you because it means that you can continue on our whānau whakapapa line. And for the boys, it's the same. You know, you might have a partner who bleeds the sacred blood, and these are your responsibilities when she's bleeding. You know, because the thing is, it's not about taking a week off work or anything like that. When the blood arrives, give yourself, maybe you give yourself a day, maybe you give yourself moments in that day just to bring your awareness to the sacredness of that blood and what you can release on the flow. We're on this intergenerational journey of recovery. We're reclaiming and recovering ancestral wisdoms and knowledges that will heal and empower us and put us back together again as a people. And those teachings have to make sense for us today.
All right.
You know?
Yeah.
And they've got to be intuitively conducted and embrace today. So what is that? You know, it's got to make sense. If it doesn't make sense, then what's the point?
Aye.
Yeah. And so that's how we start to evolve our culture, because culture is fluid. It's like water. Tikanga is like water. It's got to flow. It's got to feed us. It's got to make sense. It's got to be in alignment with the times. Otherwise, it becomes something that doesn't liberate us and doesn't help us make sense of our world and our lives. It strangles us. It's got to make sense for us. And so we've got to trust our own intuitive wisdom with carrying our ways forward. Tikanga changes, but the values that underpin them never do, eh? Kaitia ki tanga, pono, aroha, mana motuhake, whanaungatanga, the interconnectedness of all things, all of those things, are the values that underpin our practices, you know?
Aye. There'll be a lot of people out there who maybe want to connect with their whare tangata, heal their relationship with it, have been brought up resenting it, thinking, oh God, this inconvenience that comes every month. What is some of your kōrero for them to begin that process of honouring the ikura?
I think the first thing that I think what we are really coming to in our generation is the importance of bringing our awareness to kura waka, to the ancestral landscape of our own bodies, to the sacred landscape of our own reproductive bodies. Because kura waka, our reproductive bodies, is stolen land. It's abandoned land. Oof. It's land that we are disconnected from through the raupatu, through the use of sexual violation as a colonial weapon to annihilate our people. So we know that the whare tangata, kura waka, houses intergenerational trauma, ancestral mamai, a lot of grief, a lot of mamai, a lot of fear, but also the deepest wisdom, you know. And so I think we have to begin to bring our awareness to our own tara, to the tara, the birth canal, the cervix, the whare tangata. Even if she's been removed, even if the whare tangata has been removed, her sacred energetic imprint remains in the body, you know, the ovaries. We use breath and our awareness and touch to come back to our own, to kura waka, to our own reproductive bodies, to check in with what we house there. I was so shocked when I did it for the first time to find that what I held there was fear. Yeah. And so we move really gently and slowly and incredibly compassionately with ourselves, because it's our stuff that we find, our deepest stuff that we've buried, but also because the whare tangata is the house of whakapapa, there's a whole lot of ancestral stuff that we're dealing with, and also he wahine he whenua. Mm. So when we begin to connect and clear that sacred land, we're also connecting in with Papatuanuku and clearing land as well, you know. So it's deep work, it's ancestral work, and it's work we come to, like I said, with compassion for ourselves and our people, and we come gently, you know.
Kia ora.
So you just begin there, begin with the awareness. you know, and take that journey. And that journey, it's a lifetime journey. And we move beyond fear. We begin to trust ourselves really deeply. And we are led to an incredible well of intuitive ancestral wisdom and revelation. Because I mean every word when I say that Kurawaka, the landscape of our own reproductive bodies, is land that the Atua, it's the territory of the Atua Wahine, and their wisdom resides there, and we can connect with it directly. Yeah. Hine te iwa iwa, mahuika, papatuanuku, hine ahuone, hine ti tama, hine nui te pō, the maraikura, they are all the kaitiaki of Kurawaka, of our own ancestral reproductive bodies, yeah. And there's no need for guilt or shame or any of that. There's no need for any of that. You know what I mean?
Mm. But it's beautiful to hear your kōrero about it is a process. I mean,
yeah.
Because even just sitting with yourself and doing a mihi to ngā atua wahine and remembering that you are descended from that is really intense. I tried it the other day and it was an incredibly, it was incredibly powerful, our Wairua experience. But, you know, that was a little baby step. That was me like dipping my toe in after hearing your kōrero at kupu, after reading your book. And so you're saying, you know, start there, start with just making those connections, that mihi, that first mihi.
Yeah, and step by step, you just take the journey and let it flow. Just step by step, awareness, breath, touch, self-nurturing, creating sacred, ritualize the process, create a sacred space for yourself to connect in with yourself really deeply. Make it a ceremony. Trust your own intuition and instincts in terms of how you go about doing that. Go and sit directly on the whenua under hina, the moon. You know, light a ritual fire.
Oh, rawe. Is that us? Is that us after this? Are we going to light a fire?
Light a fire at my whare. No, my
whare.
I've interviewed you so many times as well, Ngahuia, and every single time there's new kōrero that comes out and there's new wānanga that I need to have with myself. But it's not so much a pata, I guess. It's a part of a discussion that a couple of weeks ago I was gifted a miri-miri, and this particular miri-miri was specific to the puku and to the kōpū. And it was the first time I'd ever had my kōpū miri'd.
Yeah.
it was very interesting. And the wahine who was doing the miri said to me, oh, your kōpū, your whare tangata has moved to the right of your tinana. And I was like, well, hang on, it moves.
Can she do that?
Yeah. What do you mean? And just as you're talking, Ahui, about reconnecting with our tinana, about having wānanga with our atua, and you're talking about touch, this kai miri said to me, you can miri your kōpū yourself. You can do this. Bring your hands here, put them here, this, push here, and then deeply press your fingers across your tinana. And you may even be able to feel it. And it was really eye-opening. Right. And it wasn't uncomfortable, but it was really rereke, tino rereke kia hau, like really different because I've had a romi-romi before where I've had like a rākau pushed into my puku, but this was like a miri-miri of aroha. It was a miri-miri of you know, wānanga, and I guess, yeah, it's not so much a pātai to you, Ngahuia, but really it's a mihi to you because over the last few years that I've known you and have had the privilege to wānanga with you and kōrero with you, my relationship with my whare tangata has changed. My relationship with my kōtiro, with my māma, with my nieces has changed. The way that I see and talk about ikura has changed. And really, that's a credit to you, Ehoa, because of the openness of mātauranga that you've been able to share, the rangahau that you've done and then gifted to us is incredible. Tēnō hōhonu te rā, rangahau. And, you know, I remember the week that we lost our baby was the week that I came to you, to your whare. And I always think, you know, it was all meant to be. Aye. That particular week was all meant to be, because by the end of that week, my whole relationship with my kōpū, whai muri tērā, you know, matingau taku pēpi, completely changed, because my eyes were open to the kōrero, to the hōhonutanga, to the taputanga, to the, you know, all of this amazingness that's connected to our awa atua. So, you know, aroha mai, hara te pātai, but
Daue nā kōrero atāhua.
But he wānanga e pāna ki tō kōrero, te hōhonutanga o tō kōrero, me te kōrero e pāna ki te pā, ki te touch, ne? Like touching, being connected to your tinana and not being shy.
Aye.
Yeah, don't be shy. Our tipuna weren't shy. they celebrated. They were so incredibly celebratory about their own sexuality, their own sensuality as a symbol of the vivacity and joy and beauty of life, man. So let's recover that. Miri, you know, using touch to connect in with the whare tangata, with the ovaries that house the mahuika, the spark of life, the kaitiaki of fire, and the tara. Because the tara is the gate between worlds. She holds everything. Every ancestor that goes through her door, every child born leaves a mark there, you know, and What can we learn about ourselves when we use touch to reconnect with the sacred gate between worlds? What does she hold there?
Oh, tēnā koe.
These are the ritual arts that belong to woman, eh? Wahine. These are the kinds of kōrero e mātauranga that is the whare wānanga of kurawaka that belongs to us. Yeah.
Tēnā koe, mārei kura. I always wish we had more time. He taonga tō kōrero.
Ai.
He taonga. E nō mātou te honoru ki te whakarongo, ki te whiako a wairua hoki tō kupu, tō mātauranga i tuku iho, nā tō tipuna e mihi atu ki a koe, ki a rātou hoki.
Tēnā koe, tēnā koutou, mihi ana ki a koutou, a ki a tātou. Kia ora.
Kia ora.
Raising capital or taking your business to the world? Investment Fix has the lowdown on everything you need to make it happen. This season, we're exploring the US market, the opportunities it offers, what it takes to grow a business there, and the best way to approach investors. Join some of the superstars of the investment and business world as they share advice from their time in the US so you can make your mahi count in this massive market. The Investment Fix podcast, brought to you by Invest New Zealand. Tune in today.
Talo for Lover. I'm Madeline Chapman, editor at The Spinoff. If you have the means, consider supporting our high-quality journalism by becoming a Spinoff member. Sign up now at thespinoff.co.nz/donate.
Nau mai hoki mai, we are now joined by Ataria Rangipikitea Sharman of Tapuika and Ngāpui. She's a writer, editor, author and researcher whose work seeks to bring forth the mana of wāhine. She's the editor of Awa Wāhine, an online and print publication featuring writing from Indigenous wāhine of the Mutu, and the author of Hine and the Tohunga Portal. And her master's thesis, just to add to the many, many taonga she's brought into this world, focused on mātauranga of atua wāhine. Hine Māori. Tēnā koe e mārei kura, nau mai hara mai.
Tēnā koutou.
Kia ora.
Kia ora.
So, why did you set out to focus your rangahau on ngā atua wāhine and mana wāhine?
Yeah, it was actually came from a place of just not knowing anything myself.
Yeah.
Like, Yeah, growing up, I remember reading some of the atua, like pukapuka atua that we had, that I had at home or at school, and they mostly, I think maybe exclusively, only had narratives pertaining to atua tāne. Mm. And so for me, growing up from a young age, it always just felt like something was missing for me in terms of that kōrero, and I wasn't learning it from anywhere at that stage. But now I'm so grateful there's so much more out there. But when I was like a kōrero Māori, when I was a teenager, there just wasn't anything. So for me, as I went to do my master's and had no idea what I wanted to do it on, but I know I really wanted to do my master's, that when that kaupapa just kind of came up as something that I guess I really yearned to learn more about, and writing a thesis on it seemed like a good way to do that.
Yeah. Oh,
hi.
So often, is the hiding. It's like, oh, I don't know this about Tā Māori. I'm going to find out.
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah. What was there a particular pūrākau that you'd never heard before, and through your rangahau, you know, and you heard that pūrākau for the first time, and you're like, wow, like that really, it really changed your ao?
So for me, the atua wahine that I really loved learning more about was Hina Te Iwi Iwi. And Hina Te Iwi Iwi is surprisingly one that there's actually less about. Mm. So obviously we've got Papatū Nuku, we've got Hine Nui Te Pō, and I think a lot of people know Hina Ahu One and Hina Titama to Hine Nui Te Pō with the tāne pūrākau there. But Hina Te Iwi Iwi was one that I really felt like, oh, I just feel like I know nothing. And there is a pūrākau which I'm pretty sure is in Dr. Aroha Yates' thesis, but also Ani Mikaere's master's thesis. And it is a pūrākau around Hina Te Iwi Iwi, her partner Tiniro's whale Tutunui is taken by the sorcerer, I'm thinking of Hina in the Tuanga Portal. it's taken by Tohunga Kai, and the woman Hina Te Iwi Iwi and some of the other women are the ones who actually go and avenge the taking of Tutunui. And so for me, that pūrākau's really stuck with me, and there were other things Hina Te Iwi Iwi did, like some karakia around, one of the pūrākau was Hina Te Iwi Iwi doing karakia during the birth of her child, which for me, having wahine doing karakia, like it was like, oh, that's in pūrākau right back. So of course, as wahine Māori, we have and she even made up that karakia too. So here we have someone who's actually writing karakia, reciting karakia for the birth of her child. So yeah, I think for me, big fan, Hina Te Iwi Iwi.
Yeah. I actually only learned about her this year.
Exactly. This is what I mean.
Why do we not know about her? She's atua of raranga as well as childbirth.
Yeah, wharepura. Yeah.
Is that revenge pūrākau? The one where the group of women go over and they have to find a rangatira with a certain type of smile?
Yes, and they do the...
And they do a performance with their vulvas and they make to try more, and find...
To make everyone laugh.
Yes,
so that they can find the person, the rangatira that has that smile, and that's the person that they're looking for their utu, is that right?
Yeah.
Love that story. Yes. The first time I got told, I was ever so slightly haurangi, so I could never repeat it because I didn't remember all the details.
Yeah, no, even for me.
Except this beautiful image of these women doing like a performance with their vulvas to like really get the crowd like rocked up.
Yeah.
And then be like, we're coming after you, motherfucker, when they like saw the right guy laugh. Epic.
That is so how I'm going to find people. I'm going to practice my vulva, cunny cunny.
Yes.
Spectacular.
Oh, Mihara, wow, that's awesome. Sorry, I'm still really hung up on like vulva, cunny cunny. Like, what does that look like?
You can be on my rope if you want, Kate.
Were these the rituals that Ngahu was talking about? Is there something to explore?
Ahua Rereke.
It's definitely what she was talking about in terms of that completely being in touch with, like, your tinana, you know. Mm. Nothing was off limits and it was joyous, you know. Yeah. There's nothing, I'm not going to say there's nothing weird about that, because then at the time, if it was making people laugh, then obviously it was a little bit kairunga.
Yeah.
But nothing shameful about that.
Nothing shameful, yeah. Just crack up.
Oh, it's awesome. And that's like, brings me on to a point. You know, you talked about how before you did this research, you didn't know a lot of these pūrākau. How do you feel like your own relationship to yourself as a wahine changed through doing this tangaho?
Yeah, I mean, it really, like how I talked about how I kind of felt like something was missing, I think for me, spending a year reading and being able to talk to other wahine Māori about their own relationship with the atua wahine was like super important for me. As a wahine Māori, I feel so much more confident and like grounded in myself. I guess I feel like it's like, yeah, it's just really important, and that's why I talk about in my thesis around one of the queer I talked to, Hine Wirangi. She, you know, clearly said that this is our birthright, that we have absolute, you know, as someone who has whakapapa Māori, it is my birthright, it is my right to know this knowledge, and that's why it's really important we get it out there, because every wahine Māori who desires to know more, to really truly understand and have and know the pūtaku of our atua wahine, that is their right.
Mm. Oh, total cool.
Now, a lot of those pūraka, that mataranga changes from iwi to iwi and hapū to hapū. And so did you just focus on sort of your tūpuna, your kōrero tuku iho, or were you sort of looking to a lot of different kuia and kaumātua for your kōrero?
Yeah, so no, I was looking to different rohe, but one of the areas that in my research that I identified for further research, and Hine Wirangi also brought this up, was that it would be really great to have someone go to the specific iwi hapū and really delve into the differences in the pūtaka, or even the fact that there are different atua wahine, like Hinepū Kōhurangi is I think is one that's very much specific to tūhoi and iwi in that rohe. So that is something that needs more research about. But for my master's thesis, it was more like a compiling of everything we still know everywhere and talking to wahine Māori from different areas of the motu.
Wow. And so did you go from the tippy top? Did you go from Ngāti Kahu down to Te Waipounamu? Or tako, well, actually.
Rekohu.
Rekohu, aye. I was like, better get that right. I'm going to get in trouble.
Yeah, so with in terms of the, like, scope of the thesis, how many, I spoke to 10 wahine, and they were from, so there is some from Kaitahu, I think, Tūhoe, different iwi. But it wasn't specifically, like, that I was having to go to every, just within the scope. It was more like as the wahine, the interviewees came along, it was more like I felt like maybe just being guided by the wairua in terms of who I would talk to for this kaupapa, because it's kind of more qualitative than like a quantitative study. I wouldn't say this is the definitive.
There are X number of pūrako connected to X number of atua.
It's not the definitive. Yeah. It's not. It's just my kind of compilation at that time with the wahine that I spoke to in that scope.
Okay.
I have a pātai about the number of atua wahine. Do you have a number of atua wahine that you research? Because I know, and even just thinking about, you know, whai Hine Wirangi, she talks a lot about Hine Pū Te Hue and a lot of the atua that are connected to the different taonga pūoro. Did you sort of have a, I'm going to find 20, I'm going to find 100? How many did you sort of focus on through your study?
Yeah, so no, I didn't have a specific number, and the ones that I focused on were actually the ones that I could find enough in the literature to be able to write to. So it is the in terms of the atua wahine that I have, talked about in this thesis, it is more the ones that there is actually a body of literature on them, which just made it easier for me in terms of being able to bring it all together. So I haven't, and that's another really great research kaupapa for someone, is, you know, researching all these atua wahine that we just don't know as much about and really, you know, uncovering their kōrero. But there's probably heaps. So I think, yeah, we've got so much more room to be able to get going into this.
And weirdly, there we go, in 2022, there are still, I saw this video on Instagram the other day. This guy, he's not from Aotearoa, but he makes like little TikToks about like indigenous kōrero and pūrako. And he did this thing about the Māori creation story.
Oh, I
and
how saw there were him.
70 gods oh. and they were all men.
Oh, like, really?
Bro!
That was gross.
Just Mine ask was someone. Hey, just ask a question. But even though he wasn't from Aotearoa, I actually still think that there are probably Pākehā and Taiwiwi in Aotearoa. Haven't really looked into it that much. Who also think that? It's kind of like the we got here by accident thing that someone just said it once and everyone believed it forever and ever.
Yeah.
Mm. But there's still quite a patriarchal view on the sharing of stories associated with our atua. You know, we talk all about tangaroa, tangaroa this, tangaroa that, tangaroa, tangaroa, tangaroa. And it was actually hine, whaia hine wirangi who taught me that. Well, the atua of the moana is hine moana, and she needs three husbands to look after her because that's how, not how high maintenance she is, but that's just how amazing she is. And tangaroa is only but one of her husbands. And I think there's just that patriarchal lens that's come across into te ao Māori that even some of our own pūrākau that we share amongst ourselves are very dominated by male atua.
So glad you brought up tangaroa because... I'm guilty of that too. Like, it's like, actually, no, whakatika tō whakaro, hine moana. Hey, but you find yourself like, mihi te ki te tangaroa, and you're like, e kao, no, hine moana. Hey, but it's they're quite embedded in us now, eh? Like, the patriarchalization. That's a new word I just made up.
It's beautiful. Do you find working in this space, but in academia, that you still have to go back to sources like Alsden Best in order to, like, as a starting place? Or in this day and age, can you just, like, put them to one side and only go to Māori sources?
So for this research, I did go to that place, but it was actually more to kind of work out, like, what... Like, what's happened? Like, how have we got to some of the...
The history of the recording.
Yeah, how have we got to some of... So I think today, no, I would say you probably don't. But, you know, one of the things that I talk about in my thesis in this research was that we can connect to, well, I believe we can connect to atua through ourselves. And so sometimes we, you know, we don't need to always be researching other people's kōrero. Like, maybe it can just be like, what do I think about? Because if we have whakapapa Māori, I think that we have the right to have a direct relationship, whatever that looks like for us, and to also like come up with our own understandings of what the atua Māori are to us as well.
Yeah, and just having your own connection, it doesn't necessarily need to be right or wrong.
No, exactly.
There's no right way to have a connection to papatuānuku or to mahueka. Is there a particular atua that you find yourself, you know, tukua mihi to, and why? Why are you drawn to that atua, do you think?
Yeah, so that was actually another thing that came up when talking to the wahine Māori, and they were of all, you know, different ages, is that for some of them, they had a clear connection to specific atua that was, I mean, they'd probably be connected to all, but they knew for themselves that it was maybe it was someone who said something to them when they were a kid about them, you know, being like Tawhiri Mātia or else, or they were a Tonga Pōro player. So for them, you know, it was like Hine Pūtehue had come through. So I think that was something that was really interesting to kind of see that. But for me, I know it very clearly, Hine Te Iwi Iwi. I think with the weaving, I'm a writer and I think writing is a form of weaving of whakaro. So Hine Te Iwi Iwi. And also Hine Nui Te Pō. And it's, I guess my relationship with Hine Nui Te Pō, I have explored less, but I do feel strongly that some of the kaupapa, sometimes I have to do things that are, like, scary. And for me, Hine Nui Te Pō kind of gives me that strength to, like, push through that. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, for me, those are the two atua, but I love them all. Yeah. But, you know.
Oh, beautiful. I feel the same. I mean, it's not something I've explored deeply, but Hine Nui Te Pō, and I think part of that is there's a kōrero, my whānau from Mangamonu, Ngāti Kuri o Ngaitahu, that piwai waka au kaitiaki, manu kaitiaki, and I feel in my poku, I don't know in my head, but it doesn't matter, hei taha, that there is a hononga there. And I'm always, I feel empowered by the fact that she crushed Māui between her thighs, and I'm like, yeah. Yes. That's the mana of wahine.
Because he was such a dick.
Love County's beef with Maui.
He didn't, look after his queen, did he? Like,
his hostess who is.
Oh, not, like, Nanaki is not even the appropriate word of how shitty he was to everyone. That he, you know, he was an asshole to Tera. He was horrible to his nan.
Stealing Mahuka's fire and just wasting it just for funsies.
Just like, what just egg. Rude.
Romo. Momo Pangua Maui. You heard it here first.
Don't come for us, Ngā Uri or Maui. Yeah. Opinion.
Hey, I was just, I'm not quite qualified to talk about this, but it does interest me when we talk about gendering atua. Mm. And we talk about atua wahine and atua tāne. Mm. And it recently came to mind when we were talking about ngā whetū or matariki and certain whetū a wahine and certain whetū a tāne. And I was like, well, how do we know?
Mm.
Like, how do we actually know? Can we see a tara there? Can we see a ure there? Like,
yeah.
You know, how do we know? And so I wondered whether that came up in conversation through your research around the gendering of our atua, and if there are atua that identified as ia, or whether there are pūrākau that identify atua as non-gendered or as flowing between genders.
So this was a couple of years ago, and so during, you know, in the kōrero of the wahine, actually that didn't come up, but I think I've been thinking on it, like, since then, and I was actually having kōrero with someone recently, and we were asking ourselves that question, like, are there atua that were, you know, non-binary or non-gendered? I guess maybe, like, te kore is the nothingness before and there's no gender. I mean, I don't know. I feel not qualified as well, like, to kore on that. But I think that, well, Hina Te Iwi is an example. Just from the pūrākau, you know she's a wahine because she gives birth, she does karakia. So I think that from some of the pūrākau you can pertain. But in terms of the whetū, I don't know if there are pūrākau around that would identify them. So
I don't think of I o matua kore as having a gender.
Mm.
I imagine most people go, it's a man. But
in
my mind, yeah. Like the creator of our universe, I have never thought about them as being gendered. They are the creator of everything. They don't need reproductive parts.
I feel really influenced by the Christian patriarchal view of a male god.
Yeah.
And so when I think of Iwa Matua Kore, my mind just automatically goes to a male because I've almost been indoctrinated by that subconsciously, listening to it over the years. But interestingly, I was having a conversation with somebody in our akumanga, actually, who asked, you know, who was the atua of Wai Māori? And so we're talking about maru. And then they said, well, is maru a wahine wa tāne? And I was like, well, I don't know. Like,
doesn't matter.
Maru's the atua of Wai Māori. In my mind, because we're talking about the karakia for the kai.
Yeah.
And so that was really interesting because while I have a whakaaro, well, not necessarily my whakaaro, I have an assumed whakaaro about Iyo and Iyo's gender, I have zero whakaaro about Maru. And just Maru is Maru.
Yeah.
He's in karakia. Oh my God. See, there we go.
Hey.
They are in karakia, but similar to you, I'm like, Maru, ko waikui. Hey. One of the, I was reading earlier about, so Rangimarie Rose Pere, who Ngāhui was talking earlier about, and there's a kōrero in Te Awatua, Ngāhui is Puka Puka, about how where Rangimarie says everything has a taha wahine, a taha tāne. And so how is it that we've ended up sort of picking a taha for our atua? And they precede us as humans, eh? So why are we gendering them? But I love that kōrero, particularly as where there's more of a, you know, we are returning back to our mātauranga about takatāpuitanga. And it's like actually within all of us, within everything is taha tāne, taha wahine. I just think that kōrero is really beautiful. Also have kore mātauranga to offer on this, but tēnā,
I was going to say that I agree that we have taha wahine, taha tāne within us, and that the in terms of like this is more just because for me that side was missing. I felt like that I didn't have that connection to my feminine side, the like hine side, I guess. I think Dr. Aroha Yates called it the hine element or the feminine. Oh, yeah. And so that was why it's really important, but it doesn't mean it's more important.
But it's hard. Yeah. Also, we don't have to translate them into the English of man and woman,
yes,
and masculine and feminine. Yeah. You know, yeah. they have their own rangatiratanga in whakaaro Māori as taha Māori in their own right, you know? And we just translate them, but they don't mean that in Māori.
It's not wāhine woman. And woman in that, like, Pākehā sensei. You know,
they're just a balance of energies.
But it's a tricky hiding, because at the same time we're trying to reclaim this mātauranga old, we're trying to reclaim so much at once, you know, this is this rangahau he taonga, but it's just one piece of rangahau, you can't answer everything on your own, and so, you know, ka pai and me.
But such a valuable contribution, it's a beautiful puzzle piece that people need.
And I think that's key as well, like, because sometimes I think people feel like they can't kōrero about even atua because it's like they're not qualified or, but if it's just, this is just my little piece of the puzzle and I invite everyone else who has their own perspectives on the kaupapa to contribute their piece of the puzzle, then we're just going to have, we're going to together have so much more. So it doesn't need to be like you're the only person who writes on it, or
he mea whakamutunga. What would be your advice for, and I know, you know, you through, but you know, hine
hine and the tonga portal.
Tō puka puka is really about, it's an extension of your work here to whakamana ko tero wāhine Māori. What do you hope that you can, what's your hopes for the next reanga, for how they grow up in their mana wāhinetanga?
Yeah, well, I mean, I hope that for them it's not a big deal and that it's just a part of their everyday lives, and if they're in the forest, they'll be like, oh, papa tūnuku, and if they're at the ocean, they'll be like, hine moana and tangaroa, but not one or the other. And I hope that what, for us, what has been more one-sided will just not be, and it's not even a thing. It's just like encompassing of all the atua, and that just feels really beautiful.
A tāhua. Oh, well, tēnei te mihi nunui ki a koe, mō tō hora a tā whai o tō mātauranga o te mana wāhine. Tēnā koe, amare, kura, kia ora.
Kia ora.
Kia ora. Kia ora.
Ka pai, well, unfortunately, we could wā nanganga kōrerorero about this I te rā katoa mo te wiki katoa, but we have to leave it there for now. E hoa mā. Thank you so much for tuning in. I want to give a big mihi, as always, to our podcast manager, Te Aihe Butler. You make us sound mean even when we are kōrerorero tūmeke. Oia no. Check us out on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. And while you're at it, check out Nuku Me Tōku Reo, the podcast of Kia Ni Matata Sipu. So much beautiful mātauranga in there. Listen to the episode in particular with Ngāhuia Murphy, He Taonga Tērā. Head to the bookshop and pick yourself up a copy of Te Awa Atua, Ngāhuia's book, one of her many books, and Hine and the Tohunga Portal. Ai, ka pai hoa mā, we'll see you, you'll hear from us in 2 weeks' time. Ka kite!
Nair is public interest journalism funded through New Zealand On Air and brought to you by the Spinoff Podcast Network. It was hosted and researched by Mariana Johnson with Leone Hayden and Kiane Matata Sipu. Nair was produced by Te Aihe Butler with senior production from Jane Yee and project management from Mark Kelleher. Kia ora e te iwi, Te Aihe Butler here, podcast manager at the Spinoff. If you enjoy listening to our podcasts, consider supporting our mahi by signing up to become a Spinoff member at thespinoff.co.nz/donate.
The Spinoff Podcast Network.